today. But open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 15. The book of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. I'm going to begin reading this morning with the 12th verse. They'll have it up on the screen. But it's good if you have your Bible and you want to follow along, that's great. You can underline in your Bible and mark things and have it for future reference. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse number 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Listen to what the apostle says in verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Verse 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ's at his coming. I want to preach to you just on a simple subject this morning titled, If There Had Been No Easter. If there had been no Easter, where would we be today? I think most everybody's familiar with the name Harry Houdini. Everybody familiar with that name? Harry Houdini's claim to fame was that he was a magician who specialized in spectacular escapes. He was an illusionist. He was an escape artist, so to speak, and he was an individual who laughed at locks and sneered at fetters, and they seemed to have no hold over him at all. No one was able to bind him or incarcerate him. They tried many times in many ways to incarcerate Mr. Houdini. They would seal him up in coffins and he would escape. They would rivet him into a boiler and put him in a place, and yet he would get out, he would escape. They sewed him up in a canvas bag and he got out. They locked him in a milk can and he escaped. They sealed him up and put him in a straitjacket and locked him in a trunk and dropped him into an icy river, and somehow he still was able to escape and to get out. They would put him in maximum security prisons, and somehow, some way, he would manage to pick the lock, open the door, and he would escape from whatever he was incarcerated in or bound in. But on October in 1926, Old Man Death laid his hands on Harry Houdini, and Old Man Death put Houdini in the grave, and he is yet to escape from death. As a matter of fact, Houdini had even told his wife, when I die, he said, if there is a way out, I'll find it. And I'll contact you on the anniversary of my death. And for 10 years, his wife kept the light burning over his portrait, waiting. And every year on the anniversary of his death, which I believe he died on Halloween, on October 31st, And on the anniversary of his death, they would hold a seance trying to contact him. And 10 years went by and she was never able to make contact with Houdini. So after 10 years, she turned out the light. Death had Harry Houdini and he could not escape. But I want you to know something today. 2,000 years ago, death also laid its hands on the Lord Jesus Christ. And death put Jesus in a tomb. And there was a stone that was placed at the mouth of that tomb. And it was sealed with the Roman seal and signet of the Roman government. And the Roman government put armed guards outside of the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was no way, they made certain that there was no way that Jesus Christ was coming out of that tomb. He had made his boast and he had said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it back up again. He had told and predicted how that he would go to Jerusalem and die and be crucified and be in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights. But on the third day he would rise. So Rome said, he's not getting out. They had a guard stationed so that nobody can come and get him, so that he could not come out of that tomb, out of that death. But I want you to know something. Regardless of what everybody tried to do, on that third day, Jesus Christ stirred himself and the Holy Ghost came in that tomb, and Jesus Christ arose victorious over death and hell and the grave. Hallelujah. He left those grave clothes in that tomb that he was wrapped in like a butterfly leaves a cocoon, and he came out. The stone was rolled away. And I'm here to tell you this morning and announce on this Easter Sunday morning that Jesus Christ is not in that tomb. They have not found his bones, because he is alive today. He is resurrected. He is seated on the throne at the right hand of Almighty God in heaven. And as we sang it, I believe today he is alive. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. That's a fact. But Paul is writing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 because there were those in the Corinthian church that had, the church had been infiltrated with those who were beginning to teach and preach that there would be no resurrection from the dead of the saints. They were denying the resurrection, and Paul corrects that and gives them an assumption here, and he tells them that if there is going to be no resurrection from the dead, then that would mean, if that were true, if that were the case, then that would mean that Jesus Christ is not risen himself. And so he is saying, suppose that that had not happened. Suppose that death held Jesus like it did Harry Houdini. Suppose there had been no Easter and that there had been no resurrection. And that's what Paul is talking about in the text. And what Paul is saying here and presenting here, he is thinking, listen, he is thinking the unthinkable. He is making what Herschel Ford, a preacher that we read after over the years, a Baptist minister, he is saying here and making what Herschel Ford calls the world's blackest assumption. That what if Jesus did not rise from the dead? Suppose that he was still in the grave. Suppose that there was no resurrection. And then Paul lists in this text six tragic things that there would be, that the condition that we would be in, six great tragedies that we would be facing if there had been no resurrection of Christ. If he was not who he said he was, if he did not come out of the tomb, if there was no Easter, where would we be today? The first thing that Paul mentions here, if there were no resurrection of Christ, Paul says that our preaching would be profitless. All preaching would be vain, he said in verse 14. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain. That word vain means to be empty and futile, without purpose. It means ineffective. In other words, Paul was saying that if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, all the time that we spend preaching this gospel is just a colossal waste of time. We'd just as well be doing something else. If there was no Easter, if there was no resurrection, then we're wasting our time being here today. If there was no resurrection and Jesus Christ is died and never came out of that tomb, then we should be doing something else on this Easter Sunday morning instead of sitting here listening to Pastor Rick preach a message on the resurrection. Because if there is no resurrection, then the preaching is futility. It's all in vain. It's all worthless. It's all profitless if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. Now Paul gives in the first four verses of this 15th chapter, he gives the meaning of the gospel. And we talk about the gospel and preaching the gospel. What is the gospel? There's a lot of preachers say they preach the gospel. What is the true gospel? And Paul gives a definition of it in those first four verses. And he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. If you keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all," and here's the gospel, "first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That is the gospel. Listen, that is the good news. Can somebody say amen? That Christ died on Calvary for our sins, that He was buried and put in a tomb, and laid His body laid in that tomb 3 days and three nights He was buried, but on the third day He rose again, and death has no hold on Him. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can't be saved if you don't believe that. That's the only way anybody can be saved. You have to believe that. You've got to believe that Jesus died and that He rose again. So if a person does not believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no way they can be saved. Any preacher, listen to me, any preacher, any church, or any religion that does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died on the cross and that God raised Him from the dead, I don't care what kind of religion it may be or what kind of preaching it may be, if it does not believe that, it is futility. It is vain. It is nothing. Hallelujah. Preachers that will not preach the gospel of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, are just a bag of wind, and everything that they say is just empty, vain nothings, and they'd just as well close up their Bible and go find a real job if they're not going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. You cannot be saved believing anything else. Well, you're pretty dogmatic about that. You better believe it. Because there is no other way of salvation. So, if Christ did not raise from the dead, then our preaching is profitless. It would be profitless. But the Bible says that the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul said in Romans 1:16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." The apostle Paul said God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save those who will believe. Isn't that right? It doesn't make any sense to the world for a man to stand up behind a podium or on a platform and just holler and scream and yell and proclaim something and teach something about a dead man that they think is dead, but that is risen again. It doesn't make any sense to the world, but the foolishness of preaching is what God has chosen to save those who will believe. Amen? So if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, preaching is profitless. But secondly, if Jesus did not raise from the dead, then our faith is nothing but foolishness. Paul said in that 14th verse also that your faith is also in vain. Do you know that it would be foolish? It's foolish to put faith in a dead person to do anything for you. Y'all are getting quiet on me. Amen? That means you can't have faith in a dead saint to help you or do anything for you. Amen? They can't hear your prayers. They can't do anything for you. But if you're putting your faith in a dead Jesus, if Jesus didn't resurrect, if he didn't come out of that tomb, then you're trusting in someone, in something who cannot save you or help you or do anything for you. See, in order to be saved, for a person to be saved, we have got to believe that Jesus died for our sins and that God raised him from the dead. And Paul said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, he gave the scripture there that tells everybody how to be saved. You know, it's very easy. It's very simple. I think we've made things so complicated, but it's very simple to get saved. Paul said in Romans 10 and 9 that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Is that pretty simple? Amen. You believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth, and you accept Jesus Christ, and you put your faith in Him and what He did in His atoning work at Calvary and in His resurrection, and you're born again. You're saved. That's how we get into the kingdom of God. It's not by joining a church. It's not by going through religious rituals. It's not through the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is commemorating what Jesus did at Calvary, but there's no saving power in those communion elements. There's no salvation in the Mass. There's no salvation in a confessional booth. There's only salvation when you make confession to the Lord Jesus Christ and place your faith in Him and are washed in His blood. Amen. It's faith in Him. So, see, if you don't believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, then faith is foolish. It's vain. It's of no avail. And this is the great difference between Jesus Christ and the other founders of other religions, because the founders of other religions, they lived and they died, but they're still dead. Muhammad did not rise from the dead. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They lived and they died and they are still dead. But the difference is with Jesus, He lived and He died and He rose again, and there is an empty tomb. See, Paul said that Jesus, that He was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. It was the resurrection from the dead that verified and proved that Jesus Christ was who He said He was. The resurrection declared Him to be the Son of God with power. So how do I know that Jesus is the Son of God? How do I know that Jesus can save me? How do I know that the Bible is true? How do I know that the promises of God are yea and amen, and they can be believed and trusted in? How do I know? I know because God raised Jesus from the dead. That is God's stamp of approval on everything Jesus did, on everything Jesus said, on everything Jesus taught. The verification that it was all true is death could not hold Him and the grave could not keep Him. He's alive today. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. A teacher gave a class an assignment to write an essay on who they thought was the world's greatest living man. The kids wrote their assignments, wrote their essays. Some wrote about the president. Some wrote about their favorite sports heroes. Some wrote about their favorite entertainers or musicians or rock stars or whoever. But one little boy wrote an essay about Jesus. And he turned the papers in, and the teacher was looking at the papers, and she called the little boy up and she said, "Son, that's a very nice paper, very, very well written and everything, but you must have misunderstood the assignment." She said, "The assignment was to write about the world's greatest living man." And the little boy looked at the teacher and said, "Teacher, I didn't misunderstand the assignment at all. Jesus is a living man. He is alive today. Hallelujah! And He is the greatest living man." Oh, glory. He was 100% man, but He was also 100% God. And He sits on the throne at the right hand of the majesty on high today, still in that human glorified body, amen. He's still 100% man, and He's still 100% God, and He is our mediator, and He is our intercessor, and He is our Savior, and He is our Redeemer, and He is our Deliverer. And somebody shout amen. Jesus is alive today and He's well. Hallelujah. Amen. So our faith would be foolish. But if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, if He stayed in the tomb, Paul said that the disciples would also be deceivers. That all the apostles and the disciples that preached and verified the resurrection of Jesus would have been false witnesses. He said, we, if Christ did not rise from the dead, this is the black assumption again. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then we, the apostles, are false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. He said, you know, do you know what a false witness is? A false witness is someone who knowingly and willingly perjures himself. Someone who knowingly and deliberately lies about something that he knows is a falsehood and an untruth. So Paul wasn't saying here, if Christ is still in the grave, then we're just mistaken. We made a mistake. We thought He rose, but we just made a mistake. No, he's saying here that if Christ isn't risen, that we have knowingly been false witnesses and have deceived you. But he's saying in this verse of Scripture that he and the other apostles and the disciples and the early Christians of that day had testified. They had given testimony that Jesus Christ is alive. And Paul was saying, we've testified that God raised Him from the dead. And he said, we're not making any of it up. We know it to be a fact. They witnessed to what they had seen. Because the apostles and the disciples had, the Lord had appeared to them. They had saw Him. The Bible says that in the days after His passion, Luke said, writing in the book of Acts, that in the days just after His passion, that Jesus showed Himself alive by many infallible proofs. There was no doubt that it was Him. We talked about it in prayer meeting a little bit last night from the fact that that Mary and the women didn't really believe that He was going to raise from the dead, because even though He had said so on that day after the Sabbath, that early morning of that Sunday morning, they bought spices, Mark said. And they bought expensive spices to come and anoint the body of Jesus. They didn't believe He was going to rise. The angel appeared to them and they went and told His disciples, we went to the tomb and He's not there. He's raised from the dead. We saw the angel. They gave the word to the disciples. And the Bible said that the disciple, Luke describes it and says that the words of the ladies seemed like idle tales to them. They didn't believe it. These were men that had been with Jesus for 3.5 years and had heard Him say over and over, I'm going to rise from the dead. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. But I'm going to rise again from the dead. But then when it happened and He died, they were sorrowful and they were hidden and they were weeping and they were mourning because it's all over now. It's a dark day. So they finally saw the Lord and He revealed Himself to them and made it known. You remember when He came in and they saw Him and they touched Him and they handled Him. And remember the time that He appeared to them on a Sunday night. That says a lot about Sunday night church, but I'm not going to get there. But He appeared to them on a Sunday night and Thomas wasn't there. And when Thomas came the next day, they said, "The Lord was here. He has risen. We have seen the Lord." And Thomas said, "I don't believe it." He said, "Unless I can see the prints of the nails in his hands and where the spear slit his side, and if I can touch those nail prints in his hand and put my hand in his side, then I'll believe." And I believe it was the next evening that the Lord walked through the wall and just stood there and appeared to Thomas. And he said, "Hey, Thomas, come here. Look at my hands. Go ahead, put your fingers in the holes in my hands and thrust your hand in my side. Thomas, don't be faithless, but be believing." And old Thomas just stood there and looked and he said, "My Lord and my God." Hallelujah. Jesus proved himself alive to those apostles. They ate with him, they fellowshiped with him, they touched him, they handled him after his resurrection. And so how do we know they didn't just make all that up? How do we know that they weren't false witnesses? I'll tell you how we know, because most of them paid for what they believed. They paid with their lives for that witness. They suffered and they bled and they died a martyr's death. And I'm going to tell you something this morning, that hypocrites and martyrs are not made out of the same stuff. Amen? They're giving their life for the fact that Jesus was alive, proved that they had been with Him. A man may live for a lie, but very few will die for a lie. And I want you to know that if we do not believe in the resurrection, then we would have to believe that these apostles pulled off the greatest, most colossal fraud in the history of the human race. Their testimony, I'm here to tell you, their testimony is true. John saw Him. I read it to you on the Isle of Patmos. And Jesus said to John, "I am he that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore, and I've got the keys of death and of hell." Oh, praise God. I told the Lord this morning, I said, "I'm going to stand still and be dignified, because there'll probably be visitors there today." Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I got to hurry. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, if the resurrection did not happen, if there was no Easter, Paul said fourthly that sin would be sovereign. If Christ raised not from the dead, he said, your faith is in vain and you are yet in your sins. Sin would still hold sway and dominion in the lives of believers. God, listen to me, if Jesus Christ is still in the grave, if he did not rise from the dead, then that means, see, here's how important the resurrection was. And I know sometimes people will get the idea, well, you preach a lot about the cross, but you don't say much about the resurrection. Well, I don't see where you can separate the two. It's all together, because the resurrection was never in question. It was never in doubt that Jesus was going to raise from the dead. He told them, he said, I've got the power to lay my life down and I've got the power to take it back up again. So there was never any question that Satan could hold him in death and that Satan would ever win the victory. Let me tell you something. I've heard it said that the cross is a place of defeat. It was. It was a great defeat for the devil. It was a great defeat for the powers of darkness. It was a great defeat for sin and iniquity and bondage. But I'm going to tell you one thing. The cross was a great victory and is a great victory for those of us who believe in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But if Christ didn't rise, then God, that meant that God, if he was still in the tomb, if you want to make that terrible assumption that Jesus did not rise, then that would mean that God did not accept the blood that he shed as payment for your sins. Because when God raised Jesus from the dead, that was the proof. The question is, when, where and when was sin atoned for? Sin was atoned for at Calvary. The price was paid on the cross. with the blood of Jesus Christ, when he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, and he said, "It is finished." That word finished means accomplished. That means that it was done. It was paid for right then and right there. It was when Jesus died and gave up the ghost, we sang about it this morning, that the veil was rent, that veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom, exposing the Holy of Holies. That meant that God would no longer have to dwell behind a curtain, that man would no longer have to be separated from a holy God, but that meant that the blood was the payment of all the sin debt of the world. Hallelujah! And that man can now boldly come before the Father God, before the throne of grace. The price was paid at the cross. The price for your redemption and for sin was not paid in hell when Jesus supposedly was born again and became a born again man. That is false doctrine. The resurrection was proof positive that full payment had been made on the cross and that every sin had been atoned for. The fact that God raised Jesus from the dead was proof positive that there was not one sin. This ought to be good news for you today, that Jesus' blood did not leave one sin unatoned for. Every sin was atoned for by the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary. And when God raised him from the dead, that was the proof. See, if there's no resurrection, then there's no Savior. If there's no Savior, there's no forgiveness. If there's no forgiveness, then there's no justification. And if there's no justification, then there's no cleansing. And if there's no cleansing, then the penalty of your sin is still upon you. And if the penalty of your sin is still upon you, then you are destined for death and hell. You're still in your sins. But thank God, that's just a black assumption. Thank God, that's just an assuming if Jesus had not raised. But because He has raised, because He is resurrected, I'm going to tell you what, that everybody that accepts that sacrifice has been freed, has been cleansed, has been loosed, has been delivered from their sin and all of their past. Amen? That's the good news of the gospel. Thank God we're no longer in our sins because the price was paid. But number five, if, Paul said, Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then death would still have dominion. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, Paul said, then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Think about that. If Christ's body's still in the grave and He didn't raise from the dead, then death has dominion, and that means that your loved ones, your mom, your dad, your children, your family members, grandparents, siblings, all of your loved ones that have died, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, they have all perished. That means that you'll never see them again. That means that there would never be a hope of seeing them in heaven. That means that if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, every one of our family and loved ones that we've laid to rest and put in that grave are going to lay in that grave and just rot and decay, and it's all over and it's ended, and there's never a chance of ever meeting them again or seeing them again. That means that death is one and that life is just one big colossal bad dream. That things are a mess. That's a gloomy Easter, wouldn't it? You can hunt all the Easter eggs you want to. But Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're all men most miserable. There's nothing to look forward to if Jesus didn't raised from the dead. So am I supposed to believe today? Am I supposed to believe that all we can hope for is just to get older and older and sicker until we die, and then it all ends in a veil of tears and we just rot and decay in a grave somewhere, in a tomb somewhere? Is that what we've got to look forward to? See, I can't accept that. I don't believe that. I preach a lot of funerals in a year's time, and I've preached funerals of those in this church that have went to be with the Lord, and I've preached funerals of those who died that didn't know the Lord. And there's a whole lot of difference in preaching a funeral and dealing with a family that doesn't know the Lord and dealing with a family of a loved one who has known the Lord and has went to heaven. I'm telling you what. Jesus defeated the powers of death. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Death does not have dominion over the saint of God. Yeah, we're all going to die, but if the Lord tarries, and this old body's going to be put in the ground. But I'm here to tell you the good news is, because He lives, you're going to live also. Because He's raised from the dead, there's a hope of resurrection for every born again child of God. That's what we look forward to. Amen. I read those scriptures at the graveside of every child of God that goes to be with the Lord, and we lay that body to rest. And I read those scriptures from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And then will be brought to pass that saying, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Hallelujah! Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're not looking for an undertaker. We're looking for an upper taker. Jesus is alive, and He's going to resurrect all the sainted dead. Woo! Glory! That body's laid to rest, a mortal body. It's sown in weakness, but Paul said it'll be raised in glory. Sown a corruptible body, but it'll be raised an incorruptible body. There's a great difference in those who know and believe the resurrection and those who don't. Last of all, I'm cutting some stuff out. But last of all, if Jesus did not raise from the dead, if there was no Easter celebration, if it never happened, then the future, our future, everybody's future would be futile. He said, if we only have hope in Christ in this life, we're of all men most miserable. That means that if this is all there is, it's bad news. It's all bad news. I was several years ago during the Gulf War, there just right after that, I was at Walmart looking at some TVs. And there was a guy in there, man, he was buying the biggest TV that they had. He and I got to talking. I said, man, that's a lot of money for that TV. He said, well, I figure I'd just well get something I can enjoy. He said, it's all futile anyway. He said, Taliban's going to get us all. That was his outlook. And you know what? If there's not a faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and the coming of the Lord in our future, then that means everything is bad news. That the good times are only for a moment. That the future is fearful and futile if Christ is not raised from the dead. There's nothing to look forward to if Jesus is not alive. We're most miserable. But glory to God, listen to me. Oh, hallelujah. Paul gave this great black assumption, and he said, if you don't believe in that the dead will be raised, then Christ isn't raised. And if Christ isn't raised, this is what's going to happen. This is where we're at. But he didn't leave them there, and he didn't stop there. But he said in verse 20, he said, that's all just if. That's tragedy if. But he said, I'm declaring to you the truth. In verse 20, he said, but now is Christ raised from the dead, hallelujah, and become the first fruits of them that slept. He is alive. Now I'm going to tell you something this morning, church. Because He is risen, because He came out of that tomb, that means that preaching is profitable and faith is feasible and the disciples are dependable and sin is subdued and death is defeated and the future is fabulous because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. Jesus Christ has taken the sting out of sin and the gloom out of the grave and the dread out of death, and He's given us a hope that is steadfast and sure and something to look forward to. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. And all fear is gone. I know who holds the future. Hallelujah. And life is worth the living because Jesus lives. Praise God. There's an old fable, and I'm going to close with this. There's an old fable about a spider. A spider who saw a great massive lion go into a cave. And that spider was so envious of that great king of the jungle, that spider said to himself, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to imprison that lion in that cave. I'm going to imprison him and he'll never get out. So while the lion went in the cave and went to sleep and was taking a nap in the cave, the spider began to spin a web and weave a web across the mouth of that cave. Back and forth, back and forth, and up and down, and up and down. And he went every which way to weave that web. And he spun until there was almost nothing left of him. He just about spun himself away. And he put a gigantic, huge, you've seen great big spiders, just covered the mouth of that cave with a huge spider web. Then the little spider sat down by the side of the cave and he said, now, that mighty beast of the jungle is my prisoner. I've got him just where I want him. No longer will that lion ever seek his prey in the jungle. He will no longer bask in the sunlight of the jungle. I've put him in that cave, and he is my slave, and in that cave is where he's going to stay. He's trapped. But in a little while, the old lion woke from his nap, got up and shook the dust out of his mane, gave a great big yawn, and then he stretched real big and let out a gigantic roar that was heard in every mountaintop and in every valley. And he got to his feet and walked out, and he walked out of that cave and walked right through that spider web, and that big old lion never even knew that that spider web was even there. It was just like it never existed. And I want you to know that the devil thought he had Jesus all bound up. The Bible says, Paul said, that had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What the devil thought, Calvary was the greatest mystery that was ever kept secret, the greatest secret that God ever had. And what the devil thought he was doing was putting an end to Jesus. I'll spin my web, I'll put him on a cross, I'll crucify him, and I'll get rid of him. And he's dead, and he's in the grave. And there's no way that he'll ever open another blinded eye. There's no way he'll never, ever, ever cause a leper to be cleansed again. He'll never save a soul. He'll never heal a sick body. He'll never deliver anyone else that I have in my clutches. the devil thought. Infidelity and hate had wove a web of unbelief across that tomb of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it was sealed up. But I want you to know that just like that itsy bitsy spider, on that third day, the lion of the tribe of Judah got up and shook his mane and rose from the dead and walked right through that tomb and through death. And he's ever known. He never even knew that that flimsy old web of the devil was ever even there. Death could not hold the Son of Almighty God. Come on, somebody. Jesus is alive. He is risen and He is alive. I love that song. I love that song. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified me freely forever. And one day He's coming back. Oh, glorious day! Hallelujah! The Lord is coming again. Stand and worship the Lord. Let's stand up and worship the Lord. Musicians and singers, come. Ushers, if you'll come and prepare to serve communion this morning. Father, we praise You. You guys just about preached me out of wind. Father, we love You today. We praise You today. We magnify Your name. Thank You for Your glorious, the glorious resurrection of Jesus, the price that You paid on the cross. And Lord, we are getting ready to commemorate with the Lord's Supper Your death and resurrection.